Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Hey, John Lester didn't pitch like an all-star today. Whoa. Matt Carpenter definitely hit like one. Lester gives up 8 earned in 3-plus innings. Carpenter, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, goes 5-for-5. Cardinals smoke the Cubbies. Meanwhile, Theo and Jed get help for the bullpen last night. But what is their next move, and how big could it be? Meanwhile, Matt Nagy's first training camp practice is in the books. Will his emphasis on physicality work? And we officially have a holdout. Roquan Smith misses his first practice. Who's under more pressure to get him into camp, Smith or Ryan Pace? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Rough day for the Cubbies. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From USA Today and also The Score, Sports Radio 670, Maggie Hendricks from the Athletics Cubs podcast. He's our guy, Ben Finfer. And from Bleacher Report and the Big Ten Unfiltered podcast, he is Seth Gruen. All right, let's get started with some baseball conversation today. Matt Carpenter alone, enough to do in the Cubs and John Lester. Carpenter turned a trick that only Chris Bryant has done previously in baseball history. That would be 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 5-for-5. He drove in 7. That's how he started the ball game. And it was not close.
No, it was ugly. I guess these happen every so often for even the good teams. John Lester had a few of these types of games last year. And it's not exactly how you wanted to go into a weekend where you've got Tyler Chatwood pitching in the next game. But hopefully they could rebound, and at least you got some innings out of your hitters today. What did they pitch, 3 innings today?
First team since 1907 to use 3 positions.
Caratini looked good.
Yeah. Happ looked even better.
In my mind, I don't know that Lester is necessarily the MVP of the team this year. I might go with Javi Baez there. But without the way he has played in the first half of the season, I don't know that they're in this thing. Because this pitching staff, as we all know and we've all talked about ad nauseum, has been very, very disappointing. Now,
The rotation,
yeah. You get a little nervous here because for the Cubs to compete moving forward, Lester still needs to be that guy because you don't know when Yu Darvish is going to get back and you don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the rotation. I think he's going to be fine, and I don't mean to be cynical by saying that, but they need him to be on point every fifth day.
And the terrifying thing about that is that if you look at some of his statistics and you look at his Fangraphs numbers and things like that, he's really been helped out by defense a lot more than you would just necessarily think.
It's not stunning that this happened.
No, I'm not surprised that he's had a game like this. And it's been coming.
And he said when he met the media, we carried it on the post game, he said, I've kind of fought my mechanics for a while here, and I knew this thing was heading in this direction. So it's got to get fixed.
Yeah, because he can't just rely on stellar defense and things like that. So maybe he shouldn't have been in the All-Star game. Maybe he needed a couple days off. But I don't begrudge him.
At least he didn't pitch.
Exactly.
I'm not even sure he stayed. They never showed him. My guess is he did the introductions and then.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what you would have done in that situation?
Probably.
You care to sit there and watch the game? But he had this right before the All-Star break last year. Remember that terrible performance against the Pirates?
Yeah, I was there.
And I think he had one other one like that, too, where he gave like 7 or 8 runs in the first couple of innings. Look, as Maggie was saying, as you talked about, some of the peripheral numbers have looked pretty bad. And he was due for something like this and actually due for a regression the entire second half. But John Lester has pretty good pedigree, and hopefully he does figure out a way to overcome what he's obviously lost in his fastball.
Yeah, I think he'll work through it, just like you defer to that narrative with any great hitter. You know, Rizzo, who obviously struggled at the beginning of the year, you know, got the strikeouts down. Towards as we approach the summer, I just got to believe that, you know, every pitcher goes through this over the course of a season, right? They get 10 starts where their stuff is phenomenal, 10 where it's so-so, and 10 where it's really bad and they got to work through it, and a 20-game winner.
I don't think Yu Darvish is going to get all of those.
No, no.
But it's like you said,
John Lester is a known commodity. And like you said, he's got a good pedigree. He's going to work through whatever he's working through now.
The key is getting Hendricks to pitch better, Quintana to pitch better, and getting Yu Darvish to be able to pitch at all.
And
that's John Lester walked five today. The only other Cub pitcher to walk five guys in one game, and Lester did it for the first time. Hendricks has it. Quintana has it.
We all know who it is.
Chatwood's done it nine times.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
That is a terrifying number. So
he's pitching at noon tomorrow.
Yeah, we have
that.
I'll be there.
He's like the reincarnation of Edwin Jackson. I mean, it's
Oh, I would take awful. Edwin Jackson over Tyler Chatwood.
Because he was an innings
eater. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. He's had far more success.
Yeah,
in his
with the walks. I mean, look, you talk about what do the Cubs need. They might need to make a big move because there's a lot of ifs associated with that rotation.
Okay, what do you think they need?
I think they need to make a big move in bringing in a starting pitcher, and they may have to get rid of some major league guys who we like a lot. I think we might see Ian Happ or Addison Russell not be Cubs anymore.
So that would obviously be in like a DeGrom type of deal. I just don't see
You get him for three seasons.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Three
I love
postseason.
The,
yeah.
I love the idea of getting him. I just don't know that that's enough. I feel like if the Mets are going to trade him, they're going to want prospects back, aren't they? Like, what
does it matter?
I read today, and then I texted with a scout who said they haven't made a decision yet. Do they do a full-scale rebuild like the Cubs, Astros, White Sox have done, or do they go, we're going to try and turn this thing quick? We want major league ready talent.
Yeah, the problem is if you're going to try to rebuild quickly, getting rid of DeGrom doesn't help you in that department. You're getting rid of
Depends
one.
Depends what you're getting back.
You want the hydration. So you might try to tank. You might try to lose. But I think if you're in their position, why wouldn't you consider the major league talent? I don't think that necessarily gets you back quicker. You got to evaluate.
The guy who was a scout that I talked to said, if you ask them for Jacob DeGrom, they're asking you for Javi Baez. They're asking you for Wilson Contreras.
You're not doing that.
They said, you're getting their best. They're going to ask for your best.
You're telling me Russell Happ is not a good enough package, is not a good enough course.
Russell
and Happ with Jacob DeGrom.
With prospects thrown in, too?
Yeah, with prospects.
I mean, the Cubs don't have
That's the problem.
The farm system's already been cleaned out. But it would be nice to see them get some. Maybe it's not Jacob DeGrom, but maybe. And the thing is, with New York, I don't picture Mets fans being patient enough to deal with
a long-term rebuild.
I think Mets fans have learned to be pretty patient over the last 30 years. They've had no choice. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't think it's realistic. It would be great. I don't know who else that is at that level that they can really go after that makes a big difference. I agree they could use another starter. They could use another back end of the rotation or of the bullpen guy, too, because
that's where they're going to put their chips.
Yeah, you can't really trust Morrow, even. I mean, this is now
he'll be healthy.
Right. He's going to come.
Zach Britton?
That'd be great. That would be great.
He's struggled with injuries, too.
Well, but he is back now. It was an Achilles injury. He is back now, though.
Ankin Law, Sports Talk Live poll question. What should the Cubs trade for next? Starter, reliever, bench bat? Maybe you want to have a position player in. I don't know where you'd play him. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Right now, 77% are saying starter. High leverage reliever first.
I just think a starter is more important when you look at where they are today.
You're not going to be able to acquire a high-level starter.
Right.
You just
Happ isn't exciting. I mean, maybe you do go after
James
a guy
Shields.
Like that, but that's not going to answer
I don't
your problem.
Know. I mean, I can't
Yeah,
dispute
I know.
The
it's
Scouts
what's available.
Said,
there's not a ton. But, right. I mean, James Shields, I think for a lot of us in Chicago, he's been like the sexy pick. Like, well, maybe he has it back this year, but I don't see him being like the kind of guy who can just slot in right away in the rotation.
Well, he's not a playoff starter for you.
Exactly.
Look, I by no means am I saying go out and trade Javi Baez or Wilson Contreras, but in the greater scheme of making a big move and having to trade away one of your major league players for a bona fide starter, like a DeGrom,
Mets called you and said, okay, we'll take Ian Happ and Javi Baez, we'll give you DeGrom. You doing it?
I love Baez. I've thought for years he's a potential. Yeah, neither would I. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. They went out and traded Gleyber Torres, who at the time
when he was a prospect.
was the number two prospect in the game.
But wasn't in the majors. Like, Javi Baez is a key part of their team right now.
I agree with that, but still was a bona fide big-time prospect for a rental, okay? For a guy who played part of the year. But he helped them win a World Series, so it was worth it. Whatever trade you execute, if it helps you win a World Series, it's worth it.
Yeah, we all
that
agree
Jason
on that.
Hayward, you know, I don't think up until this year, we were talking about Jason Hayward contract being a terrible one. He helped you win a World Series with his great defense. So that's a great contract. So any move you're able to make to help you
win a great contract, it worked out.
Right. And he was integral to that team because that team was the greatest defensive team analytically of all time. And he played perhaps one of the greatest right fields of all time.
But Javi Baez is about much more than just what he does on the field. We will not see him go. He's magic to this team, and it's not just about his playing.
Also, think about the hole that it you get rid of him, then who's playing second base? Like, you can't play Zobrist every day.
Exactly.
Part of the success
him
he's had.
Him and Tommy Estella.
Like, you don't want to play Tommy Estella every day. I mean, if you're trading Baez and Hap, you're losing your other options for second base. Does David Bodie play second base? It creates issues that you don't have. I get it. You could use some of these major leaguers to go out and get a starting pitcher of DeGrom's quality. But then you also have other holes to fill because you're making that type of move. It's a dangerous thing to do at this point in the season.
I agree. If it's Baez or no deal, then it's no deal.
Yeah.
But if there's a way to massage it, again, if there's a way to package Russell and Happ, and I know you think I'm crazy for saying that, but those guys are two potential all-stars.
If I could trade Russell and Happ and I get Jacob DeGrom,
I'm doing that.
But you're not getting Jacob DeGrom for that.
What if you throw in Victor Caratini as a pitching arm?
Exactly. Well, we'll see what they do. Zach Britton is being moved by the Baltimore Orioles, and they've acknowledged that will be the next chip that probably falls. They'll also try to move Adam Jones. They might try to move someone out of their rotation.
How about Chris Davis?
Yeah, take that contract. But if you look at a guy like Adam Jones, he gives you maybe a veteran extra guy the rest of the way.
He's an extra outfielder. I don't know that the Cubs need that. Again, unless they do trade an outfielder from their major league squad.
Correct.
If they traded an Almora or a Hap, which I don't think they're trade Almora, but if they traded Hap, then an Adam Jones might make sense.
You can't trade Almora either, I don't think.
You can. It'd have to be the right deal, but right, you're unlikely.
But if you made the right deal, you can always play Jason Hayward in center. You could move him
but,
over.
Yes, but the team
he's
overall
is there next
weak
year anyway for, in right field.
Yeah, exactly.
You can, but that's not your best defensive team, and I think this organization, since Theo Gaudier, has hung its hat on defense.
If I told you could sign one guy in the offseason, you signing Harper or Machado?
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, no shot. I'm taking Machado.
You asked me the question. I said, you can't tell me no
There's
shot.
There's no wrong answers in brainstorming, Dave.
Getting 213.
But his on – we could argue this. We have so much time to argue this. But his on-base percentage is still great. His power is still
on-base
there.
On-base percentage is .365.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good for a guy hitting .213. And and he's also, 25 years old? He'll
and
be 26.
And you like the left-handed bat.
In October? Yeah.
His
still think
ceiling
he's one of the best
is just
in the league.
So high. I don't think we've seen the best of Bryce Harper yet.
How many seasons has Bryce Harper hit 30 home runs?
I have no idea off the top of my head.
The answer would be one.
Yeah, and he's had some injuries where he was out for like a month last year. He had the shoulder injury.
So a number of seasons he does not play 140 games.
Correct, but he also had the one season where he had one of the greatest offensive seasons ever.
The one year.
Yeah.
He was
so
the MVP.
We know what his ceiling is, and if he stays healthy, he's most likely to get there.
He's
and
25. I'm not going to say, he's all washed up because he's only had one of these seasons yet. He's 25.
Right.
There's a good chance there's many more coming.
Protected in this lineup too, so there's something to say about that change of scenery.
So now makes you're moving
balls to hit.
Hayward to center and Harper's in right.
Yeah, until the DH comes into the league in 2021, and then
you got Schwarber being your DH.
What do you mean? He's the best defensive left fielder in the game.
Yeah, metrically, metrics can lie. As John Lester said after the game, I'm not worried about all those BS analytics. I know when I'm throwing the ball right. So there's our poll question for you. Now bench is coming up 48%. Keep voting, by the way, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Let's talk about Josh Hader. He was just a really good reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers until the other night when the All-Star game was going on, and someone did a deep dive into his tweets and released some pretty nasty stuff from 2011. His teammates now have gone out of their way to say that they've got his back. He's a good teammate. He apologized to his Brewer teammates today. Apparently, it was a situation where he broke down sobbing to the team, and they said, okay, we accept, your explanation, your apologies, and we've got your back. So it's a whole nasty situation.
It is nasty. It's, I think, difficult for the league. It's easy to say they should have just suspended him for a few days, but it did happen 7 years ago. I don't buy the excuse. He was young or anything. 17's old enough to not be saying things like that or thinking things like that. I think I'll never think of him the same way again. I don't know if that matters as a penalty to him or not, but I don't know that baseball can really do anything about it. I just think the perception from fans changes, and that does mean something.
I think that his teammates saying, "We know who you are now," does mean something and everything, but I hope that this is a lesson to literally everyone. Nothing dies on the internet.
Ever.
Everything you say. So you shouldn't have those thoughts and feelings in your heart anyway, but you definitely shouldn't be putting them online, because all you're doing is spreading hate, and that's just making the world a worse place, man.
Yeah, I don't know where the red lines are on this issue in terms of what's old enough to know, but I would agree with Ben that at 17, you got to know that you can't be putting this stuff on social media or spewing it at all.
Correct, but I don't believe that MLB can suspend someone for what they wrote at 17.
Oh, no.
Not in their employ.
I'm not even sure if that really accomplishes anything.
It doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
I don't think it would accomplish anything. I think what is much smarter to accomplish is to have his teammates talk about it, have him talk about it, have him talk about the experience, about why it was so dumb and why he was thinking these things, and how, like, it needs to be a much bigger thing than just, hey, we're going to send him away for 10 days. Like, that doesn't help.
And he's going to be hearing a lot about it for a long time, and deservedly so.
Yeah. He's probably going to lose money over it.
Absolutely.
Honestly, his name is tainted forever. You Google his name forever, that's going to be one of the first researches.
No question.
Yep.
All right, Mother Nature tried to rain on the Bears parade, but Matt Nagy still held his first training camp practice outside as a head coach anyway. Meanwhile, Roquan Smith still hasn't reported his first NFL training camp. We'll discuss the latest from Bear Bonet next.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Well, it was raining in Bourbonnais, and Matt Nagy said, well, that'll toughen you guys right up. We're going to practice in the rain. Bears went through their paces today, not in full pads, just helmets and shorts and ready to rock and roll and shoulder pads. But I'm excited for this team more than I have been excited, Seth, for the Chicago Bears in a long time.
Well, look, and that's fair, because they have a quarterback with a lot of potential. And I think we saw some things last year tangibly that really excited you, particularly his ability to throw on the run and move inside the pocket, which to me is the hallmark of the greatest quarterbacks that have ever played the game. I mean, when you look at Tom Brady, and I'm not making that comparison, his ability to make small nuanced movements within the pocket is really what makes him great. I think you see elements of that in Mitch Trubisky's game. Now, do I think that there'll be highs and lows this season? Yeah. Do I think that the Bears are playoff bound? Probably not because of that. But I do think they're on the road to building something sustainable.
I think you're excited. I'm excited because it's new. It's different. And the last time they made a coaching change, I know you weren't a fan of the Fox hire at the time, but they were also coming out of an era, Mark Trestman, where it was just a disaster.
It was disaster.
And you knew it was going to take a long time to clean things up. So it was hard to be excited even though they were making a change. But anytime you have a new coach coming in, it's a little exciting. And this time it's an offensive guy. He's young, and he's working with the young quarterback. And there's some other young guys there. You got a free agent wide receiver that's there. So there are reasons to be excited while also understanding that it's probably not a playoff team.
I am very low-key in my excitement, just because I have bought into what the Bears have been selling with the last two coaches. I was like, sure, Mark Trestman, this seems really interesting. And then, of course, the Bears became a super fun site that John Fox didn't have the ability to clean up. So I want to be excited, but I'm very held back, because I just don't want to end up finding myself disappointed again.
Yeah, when they brought in Trestman, I'll never forget the day they hired him. We got Tim Brown on the radio back on the game. Never forget. Tim Brown.
Heard of it.
What's that?
Anyway, Tim Brown came on and he goes, you guys hired who as your head coach? There's no chance that's successful. And he had coached Tim Brown. And when I heard him say that, I thought, oh boy, we're in trouble. boy, was he right.
Yeah, it was bad, and it was an offensive-minded guy, so I think a lot of people were kind of excited by that because the Bears had not gone in that direction in a long time. But this is – Nagy appears to be, at least based on what we know about him, someone who's into the, you know, the types of offenses that everybody else around the league is running. So that's exciting. But it,
so,
it
like,
all,
offenses that win?
Yeah, but it all depends on Trubisky. It kind of doesn't matter what Nagy is. I mean, yes, you want him to work, and you want everybody else to work, but it's all about Trubisky. Look, if he's good, then like he's going to lift everybody up. So that's what we're going to have to be watching.
Look, I know there's a lot to be excited about with Matt Nagy, and you talk about pedigree, and he's got a good one. But lest we forget, he doesn't have a ton of play calling experience either. So he's got something to prove along with Mitch Trubisky. Now, can these two evolve together? I think that's possible. And I think there's a lot of things about his offensive philosophy that excite you, but there are still questions associated with just about everybody around this franchise.
That relationship, I think, the relationship between Trubisky and Nagy is going to be the most important thing that comes, that we find out about the Bears, that we see. If the Bears make the playoffs this year, I'll be surprised, but I really will be watching much more to see how Trubisky moves along and how he works with Nagy, because if they can't work together, this whole thing isn't going to go right.
Yeah, Nagy loves Trubisky, had scouted him for the draft. I think that's going to be a good relationship.
I mean, Nagy has no choice but to love Trubisky right now.
But he probably doesn't take this job if he wasn't in love with Trubisky.
That's true. I mean, it happened pretty quickly. I agree. But like, they have to love each other right now. You're going to hear him say a lot of great things about Trubisky.
Yeah,
you're
going to
hear Trubisky say a lot of great things about him.
Better not go south.
But, right. But the hire was made under the guise that they would like each other, that Trubisky has a skill set that is right for the kind of system that Nagy wants to run, and in such, Nagy's going to love him because of that.
We're going to find out.
I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion yet, because it's one thing to scout and know somebody that way, but it's another
to like a dating
to work
profile.
With them
you never
day.
Know if someone's being honest.
Right, you go, oh, that things. Person looks intriguing.
Yeah.
And then you get together and you're like, what was I thinking? That's why I'm divorced one time.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Roquan Smith is holding out officially now after missing his first workout. It is not about the money, which is usually set in a structure for each draft pick, but it's about the offset language. Does this concern you guys?
Not yet. I think if they get closer to that Bengals game, which is their second preseason, it's Bengals, I think, is the second one, that would be concerning. But they are getting to camp a little bit early. I don't think you need Roquan Smith to be involved in that Ravens game. You don't want to go too far into this. Like, if he's a holdout for a week, that's fine. Anything beyond that is where you start to get a little worried.
Oh, look, we saw Joey Bosa hold out for a while, and it worked out okay.
Same agent.
His rookie year.
Same agency. I don't know if it's the same agent.
I think the same guy.
Is it the same guy? Okay.
That said, could he have been even better that year if he had reported to camp on time? I don't know. Maybe.
He was rookie of the year.
Look. I know that, but could he have been statistically even better?
Could he have been decade?
My point in bringing that up is that you can hold out for a long time, it can still work out. But still, let's get the guy to camp. I mean, it's important to get him here.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Pace needs to get the job done. Like, there's just no – like, whatever it is that needs to be done, just take care of it. This is your number one pick. This is your start. Just get him.
It is a little annoying that they procrastinated. Like, the draft was in April, right?
Yeah, like, get it done.
Seven of the top nine have not signed.
I get it, and they're waiting for the first one to sign, but these things are supposed to happen quicker. And I know deadlines always help things get done quicker, but let's go already.
For Roquan Smith's sake, Bosa, by comparison, plays a higher impact position. So you see the sacks, you see, statistically, it doesn't matter. Roquan Smith doesn't play as high impact a position. So you wonder if he kind of, you know, is hidden in the shadows of his defense, even though if he's doing his job, people might come back and say, well, he wasn't at camp. Why isn't he, you know, getting 15 tackles a game?
All right, let's go back to Wrigley. Our Tony Andracki, who's our Cubs beat writer, joins us now. Tony, that was a nail biter, man, right down to the end. I had no idea if the Cubs could make the comeback or not. All kidding aside, what was your takeaway from today's ballgame, especially John Lester's struggles?
You know, I think the takeaway was all the position players pitching. It was Victor Caratini. Ian Happ, by the way, is your new Cubs ERA leader, just so you guys know. And then Tommy La Stella as well, out there throwing 53-mile-an-hour curveballs, they called it. So I think it was all three of those guys, a little bit of light and levity and a really tough day otherwise.
Later in the game, you did see some decent at-bats. I mean, I know it was a blowout and everybody was relaxed on the Cardinals side of things. But this is one, I think Joe Maddon said it best, you just flush it, you go get dinner, and you come back ready to go tomorrow, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have their 30-minute rule for this reason, because when you have a really bad loss, they do like Joe Maddon says. You tie it around a cinder block, you throw it in Lake Michigan, and that's it. Same if you have a big win. You let that carry you for maybe 30 minutes, and then it's on to the next day. So it's all about the process for the Cubs. But you're right. There were some really good at-bats late in the game. And you know what? There were actually some good at-bats early in the game. It just didn't quite work out in the Cubs' way.
How about your thoughts on being a witness to Matt Carpenter becoming the second player in baseball history? Three bombs, two doubles, and he drove in seven. And the only other guy to do it was in the ballpark, Chris Bryant from 16.
Yeah, you know, Bryant actually talked about that after the game. He said it's a pretty cool honor to share with Matt Carpenter over there. But it was just a really unique day. I mean, the fact that Carpenter came out of this game after he hit in the top of the sixth inning there was really crazy. I mean, I can't believe that he did all of this in just six innings, and he had so much more after that.
The position players pitching, I don't understand why the new manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Schilt, why he would take him out. You're talking about having a chance to make baseball history.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of odd, especially because it was Yadier Molina that went to first base initially. So you think if you try to get anybody off their feet in a blowout, it would be your catcher, especially a guy that's the heart and soul of the team. But no, in this case, it was Carpenter that came out, so maybe he had some sort of ailment that they were trying to watch. But yeah, either way, it was Yadi that came out from behind home plate, went to first in place of Carpenter. Carpenter's bid at history was it. That was just those six innings. Although, obviously, the Cubs were happy to see that because he did plenty of damage in those six innings.
All right, before we let you go, Jesse Chavez acquired last night. He is a rubber-armed right-hander. Not somebody you go, that's a high leverage guy, but he can eat innings. What are the Cubs saying about him, and what else do you think is on the way?
You know, the Cubs look at him as like a super utility guy just out of the bullpen. He's the right-handed Mike Montgomery, which they need Montgomery right now in the rotation. So Jesse Chavez is a guy that he can go long if they need it, which they obviously need it today, so they wish he was here, I'm sure, today. But other than that, you know, he could go one inning, he could go multiple innings, he could go five or six in extra innings if so. But, you know, definitely there's going to be at least another arm added to this bullpen. We saw the struggles of Brian Dunsing today. His ERA is over seven now. His whip's approaching two. Either way, there has to be at least one more arm added to this bullpen. I don't think they do too much of the rotation, but this bullpen, it needs some help, whether from the left side, right side, whatever at this point.
Tony, thanks, man. We'll see you at the ballpark tomorrow. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.